Revelation chapter 1, and we'll be brief tonight and bring you a few thoughts today and keep your and just bring your minds in upon the scripture and what John the Revelator writing here, the book of Revelation, for the last days, for something we need to help us. What the Holy Ghost knew what we'd be going through with, and so he gave the book of Revelation for us that we might have something to look to in these last days. And John, of course, was exiled on the Isle of Patmos for the testimony of Jesus Christ, for the Word of God, and taken away from his church, from his people, from the Christians that had been around him, and exiled on the Isle of Patmos. And there he was. He was in a place that was a desolate place, and no doubt it was lonely, but he found out there was somebody there when he got there already. But John here writing to the book of Revelation to the seven churches in Asia at that time, and of course also speaking to us in our church age today, and different dispensations that the church is. These represent seven churches, seven dispensations. But I'm glad today God got something for us in this time. But the main thing I want to look at tonight is found in verse 13. When Jesus, of course, was found there, and let's look in verse 9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, who's in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I'm Alpha and Omega, first and the last. For thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches, which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. In the midst of the seven candlesticks, one likened to the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. Now let's skip down to verse 19. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter, the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Now go back to verse 13. The Bible said, in the midst of the seven candlesticks, which is the churches, one likened to the Son of Man, there was Jesus in the midst of the church. There he was for the church age. We know that he's here because Jesus made a promise when he went away. And he said, I'll send another comforter, the Holy Ghost. But he said he'd be with us all the way, even unto the end of the world. Jesus is with us today. And of course, he's not in body, but he's here in spirit. And the Lord is with every child of God. Christ in you, the hope of glory. We've got somebody within us through the person of the Holy Spirit that guides us and helps us in our lives every day. But now look at John here for just a few minutes today. John was in a bad situation. He was in a desperate situation. He had been taken from his family, from his friends, from his church, and exiled in that place. And here he's in a bad place. I mean, it wasn't something that you'd look forward to. You wouldn't go on vacation to the Isle of Patmos. You wouldn't want to do that. And so the exile, where he could not be around other folks of like a faith as he was. And so he was a brother to those back there that he left. He was a companion in tribulation and the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. And so there he was on the Isle of Patmos. He was having a bad day. He was having a bad time. And so John, of course, knew that the Lord was going to take care of him. I believe he knew that. And so he heard something, he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And what John didn't lose, he didn't lose his faith. He didn't lose his strength. But he was there on the Isle of Patmos. And he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Sunday morning come, and John woke up. and got up, and there he was on the Isle of Patmos. And he said he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Now, one thing that John knew this, he certainly knew that it was the first day of the week. Now, what do you do on the first day of the week? You celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. That's what the early church did on Sunday. That's what we're to do today. We're to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And on the Lord's day, he heard behind him a great voice. Now, he was not alone. And brother, I want to tell you today, we've got a lot of bad situations in our world today. I want to tell you, brother, Jesus is with us in everything that we face today. He's not leading us alone. We're not facing things on solo and on our own time, on our own place today. We're not facing them by ourselves. But he's with us. And so we're living in times. I know it's a struggle for the child of God today. I know it's sometimes we see things taking place and we experience things that are taking place today. And we say it's a hard time. Well, I'm afraid it's going to get harder. But I want to tell you one thing. The Lord Jesus is with us. The Lord is with us. And so there he was. He was with John on the Isle of Patmos. And so he's in the middle of a church. He's in the middle of his people. He didn't leave us alone. He's not going to leave us. He didn't leave us comfortless because he sent the Holy Spirit. And so that Bible said, here he is in their midst. And he was in the midst of the church. And prophetically speaking, John was saying, verse 13, writing through the Holy Spirit, and that impressed him to write. He was saying that there in verse 13, the Lord Jesus is in the midst of the churches. He's in the midst of the church. I praise God for the genuine, born-again child of God that's a part of the New Testament church. I praise God for that. And in the midst of that, there's somebody to walk with us through the things that we face in this life today. What does he do there? Well, he takes the fears away. And verse 17 said there in the last part of that verse, he said, fear not. I'm the first and the last. He said, fear not. He's there in the midst of that church to take the fears away of the things that we're facing. Now, the Bible said in the last days that men's hearts are going to fail them for fear of the things that's coming upon them. But for a child of God, we've got somebody have to take the fear away in the last days. God said there, Jesus made this statement. Remember this now. He said, my peace I leave with you. Not as the world give unto you. I'm giving you the peace of God that passeth all understanding. And that's what Jesus does for his children today. And so we find he takes the fears away. I mean, listen, the children of God down through the centuries and down through the years, there's been a lot of fear that's come upon the people of God because of the things that's taken place in their lives, in their nation, in their country, in their homes, and things that they're facing in this life. There's been a lot of fears. But listen, he was Abraham's shield. That's right. Abraham had somebody he could depend upon. It's not just our day today, but I'm telling you, down through the years, we see the fear of God, my friend, the fear of the world, bound by the faith of the children of God. Abraham had, you know what he said to Abraham? He said, fear not, I am thy shield, I'm your defense. That's what he said to Abraham. And so he defends those that's got their faith and their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so to Abraham, he was his shield. Isaac's assurance. Listen, Isaac was given the assurance. He said, fear not. Genesis 26 and verse 24. Fear not, for I am with thee. I am the Lord of Abraham, the God of Abraham, and thy father. I tell you, there he was the assurance. And that's what we need sometimes today in our life as we're facing things that are fearful and things that seem like will overcome us. We find there's an assurance. There's a shield. He was Jacob's victory. In Genesis chapter 46 and verses 3 and 4, he said, fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will make of thee a great nation. He was his victory. And brother, listen, victory today is for who? It's for the child of God. We've got victory already today through the Lord Jesus Christ. He was victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And we're going to have the same victory that Jesus had today. And so he was Joseph. He was Jacob's, he was Jacob's victory. And so the victory comes for a child of God. He said, I will go down with thee, and I will bring thee up again, and Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. There was victory in his life because of his God. And so listen, that's what the Lord does today. He takes our fears away. And to the widow, he's a companion. Amen. To the widows, he's a companion. I may think sometimes, no, I don't know what to do. And then sometimes you look like, it seems like it's desperate. I have to know the direction of God. But listen, he's a companion. He'll be a companion to the widow. He'll be the father to the fatherless. And he's a father to them. And to the lonely, he's a friend. Amen. When it gets lonely where you're at, just look around. The Lord's there. The Lord's there. And so he's a friend to you. How many times have we looked around us and wonder, doesn't anybody care? Does nobody know what we're going through with? But listen, he's always showed up right on time to feel the very presence of the Lord in the life of a child of God is such a blessing. And to the sick, he's a great physician. Amen. The fear of sickness comes upon the child of God, but he's the great physician. And the Bible said many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. One day every sickness will be defeated. Amen. The Lord, it's going to take the Lord's coming to get it all done, but brother, it's going to be defeated. And so to the sick, he's a great physician. I'm glad there's sometimes in this life when sickness comes our way, I tell you, we can look to the Lord and find the great physician. He still heals. God's got the power to heal. God's got the power to save. And to the grieving, he's a comforter. Brother, when grief comes your way, I'm telling you, there's somebody that comforts you like nobody else will. He'll pull you up beside himself and put his arm around you and give you comfort when you need comfort. And so listen, and to the sad, he's their sunshine. And brother, God gives sunshine to the sad. And when things are not going your way, and brother, he's always there. Aren't you glad you're saved tonight? Listen, there's the fear that comes our way. And John had a reason to fear. He was in a strange place. And brother, he was without the comfort of friends, without the comfort of family, and everything wasn't going his way. But all of a sudden, when he heard the voice behind him, and he turned and looked, who did he see? He saw the Lord Jesus Christ. And brother, when things get desperate, Jesus will show up, and he will be with you. He made a promise to us when he went away, and lo, I'm with you all the way, even to the end of the world. And brother, listen, when these things come to a close, the Lord will still be with his children. He'll still be with us, and praise God for that. And so listen, he's in our midst today. The Lord is right there with us. Whatever we're facing, whatever we're going through with, the Lord is right there with you today. He wants to help you. He wants to comfort you. He wants to lead you. He wants to give you strength. He wants to give you grace. And that's what it's for today. And the grace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus, and take that fear of God, that fear of the world away from you, and put the peace of God in your heart today. Oh, I'm glad God will do that. Yes, sir. And so listen, he brings deliverance from our fears. Whatever we're facing, he's always right there with us. I'd hate to think about facing this world today without the Lord with us. But I'm glad he's right there with us. In the midst of the churches, there he is. And whatever situation all these seven churches was in, whatever their situation was, and you can read about that over in the chapters 1 and 2, and you can read the problems they were having. He was right there in the midst of it, directing them, comforting them, helping them, rebuking them, and encouraging them. He was right there, right in the middle of those seven churches. And I'm here to tell you today, he's right here with us today. today in 2021, and in February of 2020, he's right here today in the midst of his church, and he's going to take care of every child of God, and of his strength and his grace, and will be right there forever for every one of us at whatever we face today. And so the Lord's right there with his church. He's right in the middle of it. Amen. And you know why he's in the middle of it? Because it's his church. Amen. It's his church. It belongs to him. And Jesus said, upon this rock, he told Peter now, he said, Peter, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And then if there's anything that'll take your fear away, it's to realize, brother, he's got us in his hand. He's got us in his care. And brother, he's got us, and he's surrounding us with the angels of God. He's put the grace of God within us, and put the angel of God camp round about us, and we've got somebody to help us in this thing today. We've got strength because of him. He's right in the middle of his church today. Amen. Right in the middle of his church. And so listen, when things don't go our way, look up, because our redemption draweth nigh. In the midst of the, and in this meantime, he's right there with us to go through us with this thing, with this, through it for us, and right there with us. Amen. And listen, he takes the fears away from that New Testament church. He takes the fears away from the New Testament believer. He takes the fear away, just as sure as he did to the Old Testament believers. He's doing the same thing today. We can read the New Testament, brother, what those men went through with, and what those women went through with, and they're right there in the midst of that day. He was right there with them, and taking their fears away, because somebody could depend upon him. Listen, not only that, but you'll find here in this chapter in verses 16, and the Bible said, and in his right hand, seven stars. And what's he doing there in the midst of the church? He's taking care of his messengers. He's carrying his messengers in his hand. If there's anything that's needed today in 2021, it's for men of God to preach a word, to stand on his word, and brother, to be strengthened by the word of God, by the Holy Spirit, and to tell the truth in the midst of a sinful world that we're living in today, and when there's apostasy on every side, and the devil's attacking from every direction, and there's some messengers, that God's got some men in his hand, and he's holding them in his hand, and he's there to protect them and to empower them. And brother, listen, he's right there with his messengers, and those seven stars were the seven. Those seven stars, the Bible said, was the men of God, of course, and he's holding them in his hand. And then the seven stars, which I saw, are the seven and the seven candlesticks. Those things are held by the Lord, and the seven stars are the messengers to the seven churches in Asia at that time. And the men of God, prophetically speaking, and that's here proclaiming the word of God in our generation today, and holding up the truth, and declaring the word of God in spite of the opposition. And brother, today, listen, he's right there holding them in his right hand. Amen. The Lord's got us in his hand. We can rest assured, if we'll just preach a word, he'll take care of us. And he took care of Paul. You say, wait a minute, Paul got his head cut off. Yeah, but he went to heaven. Amen. And you say, well, Paul went to jail. Yeah, but he let him out. Amen. I tell you, listen, things may not go our way, but I tell you, if it goes God's way, he'll take care of us. It's not what we want, but it's what God wants us to have to experience in these last days. Now, Paul had a lot of things that he went through with. Jesus told him, said, you're going to suffer things for my name's sake, and we're going to suffer for his sake. And you, of course, if you live for God, if any man will live godly in Christ Jesus, he shall suffer persecution. And if you live right, you're going to suffer for it. Somebody won't appreciate that. And somebody won't like you because of that. So he carries his messengers. What does he do? He supplies their weaponry. Amen. He said, out of his mouth goes a sharp two-edged sword. There's the word of God. He supplies a weaponry. We got something to fight with. We got the Bible today, the unchangeable, inerrant word of the living God. And we've got that today to fight our battles with. Out of his mouth with that sharp two-edged sword. What did Jesus use to face the devil with? What did he rebuke him with? The word of God. Amen. The Word of God. When the temptation, the wilderness, what did Jesus use on Satan? He used the Word of God. What did he say? It is written. It is written. It is written. And brother, listen, our weapons are simply the Word of God. That's why it's important that we have the Word of God for every generation. And we've got this Bible today for this generation. By the way, I'm preaching now the King James 1611. I believe that's God's message and God's Word for this generation today. Some of you preachers out there, you ain't got guts enough to throw others out the window and preach the Word of God. Take the King James Bible. You pick all these little versions up and you follow this little version and that little version. And pretty soon you're so confused. You don't know what to do. But you just get in the Bible and stay in the Bible and stay with the book. And you'll get blessed of God. And brother, God will reward you at the judgment seat of Christ for staying with the book. Amen. Well, so much for that. And so he supplies their weaponry. He supplies their wisdom. He said, if any man desire a wisdom, let him ask of God. He supplies the wisdom. You'll find wisdom in this book. Wisdom is in the Word of God. He supplies their wisdom. He supplies their witness. Amen. He said, go into all the world and preach a gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. He supplies our witness. He gave us power to witness for His sake. For His name's sake. So we've got power to preach. Amen. He gives power to preach, power to witness. And so He supplies their witness. He supplies their willing workers. Now these men that were seven stars of the seven churches in age at that time, you know, they can't do it on their own. They got to have some willing workers to work in with them and going with them and holding them up and lifting them up and supporting them. And that's what the willing workers are for. It's to support the Word of God as it goes out. Amen. And He holds all of them in His hands. Every member of the church is important. Because we support the leaders, my friend, of our church, and we support the men of God as they preach. And when others can't preach, we can support them that do preach. Amen. We can send out missionaries around the world. That's what the world. And He supplies willing workers. How many has He called since He went back to heaven, after the resurrection? How many men of God has He called? He's called, multiplied millions of them. And there's been men of God that thundered out this Bible and thundered out the preaching of the Word of God in spite of everything that was going on around them. Looked the devil in the face, called his name, and brother, listen, preach the Word of God in spite of all opposition. And when nobody else would listen, and nobody else walked away, God gave them grace to preach the Word of God. He supplies willing workers to walk with them and to help them along the way. If there's anything you can do today, you can be a willing worker. They're just as important as the one that's been held in the hand of God. And in essence, He holds us all in His hands. He certainly does. And so, listen, He supplies these men of God, willing workers. And He's there to feed them. They're there to feed them. The men of God feeds us. The Word of God. How would He be fed? Peter talked about that. Feed the Word of God. Feed the flock. Amen. Jesus left that exhortation before He left out of here. He said, feed the flock of God. Feed the flock of God. He feed them. And so the purpose of God's men is to feed the flock of God and stand in the gap and thunder out the Word of God. These last days. He's not only to feed them, He's to share them. Amen. And that we're to lay aside every weight and the sin that besets us. The Word of God will tell us what's weight and what's sin. That's the reason. And so a lot of folks said, well, I don't want anybody preaching to me. Well, you better hope they preach to you here, because you face God without preaching, you're going to be in a mess. Amen. If you don't get saved, and that you're going to face hell. And if you do get saved and walk away from God, you're going to face the judgment seat of Christ. And you're going to stand there and face every message that you rejected because of the man of God. Amen. He's not only to feed them, He's to share them. He's to love them. Amen. And Jesus proved that. He loved his people. He loved the people of God. He even loved those who crucified him. Amen. He leads them. He feeds them. He shares them. He loves them. And he's to lead them. Amen. Well, Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 3, be examples to the flock. He leads them by example. These men of God here, that is found in Revelation, the seven stars, they were the men that was pastored those seven churches in Asia at that time. And they was one that God used to lead the people of God as examples. And they're to obey them. Amen. That how they rule over you. Hebrews 13:17 said that. Obey them. You buck up against a man of God when he's preaching the word of God, you're in a heap of trouble. You're in a heap of trouble. Amen. And we're to salute them. Amen. We're to salute them. That's what he said, Hebrews 13:24. Salute them that have the rule over you. And so not only that, but they're to love him, to follow him, take care of him and his family. I've heard folks say, I don't want to go to church because I don't believe you ought to pay the preacher. Well, there's some few ignorant people in this world. That's one of them, amen. Don't believe in paying the preacher. Amen. They don't. Tightwad. Amen. That's what they are, just tightwads. Anyway, they just don't believe in that. Paying the preacher. Well, I don't believe in not paying. Yeah, maybe ought to, amen. Labor's worthy of his hire. So Jesus is right there in the midst of that church. The seven churches in Asia. And John was reminding them that there he is in their midst. There's a purpose for the Lord being in the midst. Do you think the Lord would put his church in this world and go back to heaven and just forget about it? It don't work that way. He's there in heaven, but he's also here within us. And the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, is here indwelling every believer. Every saved person has got the Holy Spirit within them. You say, I don't believe that. Well, you've got a right not to believe the Bible. Amen. But anyway, there he indwells every child of God. And he's there to reprove us, to lead us, and to teach us. He didn't put the church in this world and forget about it, but he's right here in the midst of his church. His presence is here. I love to be in the house of God when he makes himself known in the midst of his people. All will feel the presence of the power of the Holy Spirit in the worship service and the song service. Something you don't work up, it's something that works out from your heart. So there's what the Lord, he's in our midst today. He's in our midst for a purpose. To lead us, to guide us, to direct us. Trust you get some other message today. Meet us in the house of God on the Lord's day. Be here at Mountain View.